Craig, how are things going?
They're going, man. They're going. How about you?
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of what my response is as well. Like they're definitely going. Some good, some not so good, and just all over the place. It's been kind of a stressful period right now, but not what I was really expecting. But is that kind of what you're feeling, or where is that coming from for you?
There's a lot of stress going on. Well, I think first, fair to say there's just a lot of stress in the world, right?
Like yeah.
COVID and family and travel and all this stuff. I think currently it sounds like we're both fortunate that our jobs aren't terribly affected by this,
right.
But I think that would add another enormous stress, which you experienced, you know, a few months ago. But no, I mean, for us right now, it's, I hate to even say it, but it's like, there's a lot of really cool stuff going on. And the stress for me is just that there's a lot of it, you know, and there's a lot of stuff that I don't know the answer to and I've never done. And like, we have to try to figure this stuff out. And that's just really intimidating, you know? And so I kind of just like, I think if I knew the answer and I just had to do this thing 20 times a day, that's fine. But like, this is like, we have to figure out this pricing thing and this packaging and this product thing, all when people are asking for it. And like, that's just really stressful for me, is like not knowing any of the answers and telling people we have this thing, which we technically do, but just the stress around like how that all works and stuff. And I don't mean to be too like vague, but
yeah. Can you get into any of the specifics?
Yeah. So we talked in a previous episode about like the two big places that we're focusing right now are kind of like deepening our integration with WordPress. And we're doing that first via an integration with Elementor, which is by far the most popular page builder for WordPress. So kind of baking all of the functionality of our Serious Simple Podcasting plugin right into native Elementor widgets. So someone could go like build a whole website just with Elementor for their podcast. The other area that we're starting to focus more in is private podcasting. And this is where a lot of the stress comes from, because like integrations and product launches and partnering like on a marketing basis with like our integration partners is stuff we've done some. And I feel like maybe it's not exactly perfect, but like we've done it and like we kind of just run that playbook. But this other stuff is like, it's really new, you know, like we're doing stuff that no one else in the industry is doing. And so we're having people come to us with questions that there's no answer to, you know, of like, hey, I want to do this thing. Do you do that? Well, yeah, like technically we do that. I've never thought of that. You know, let's figure out how to do that together. And then they ask, you know, like, okay, well, like how does working with you in that way work or look? And, you know, pricing and packaging and even terms, you know, like I've sent out term sheets or like master service agreements in the last few weeks. And yeah, just the stress of all of that.
Is this all weird. Like, and on the enterprise side, kind of like, is this like high touch sales? Like, are you talking with big companies? What are these opportunities looking like?
Yeah, it's a little bit of everything. It's a little bit of, and then, you know, so that's just like one more. It's not right. Like everybody doesn't look the same, but a lot of people wanting to use this in different ways. And so part of me says we need to say no to all but one of them, all but one type of person. But like from a tech and product perspective, there's no reason to, you know, this guy running this course can use, you know, private podcasting with Castos exactly the same way as this 3,000 person sales team wants to use it, or the same way that this like huge kind of like public figure wants to just run like a subset of their podcast as a private one through a membership site, you know? And so like from a tech perspective, it's all exactly the same, but just, you know, how, yeah, all the, you know, the product is there and like people are definitely using it and I feel good about that. And then like, but yeah, just yeah, high touch sales and the opportunity that provides, as you know, like you've done some enterprise stuff, like the opportunity is enormous, but it's just so different than, you know, somebody coming in and paying $20 a month. And, you know, a couple of those happening a day is great, you know, but enterprise deals are just such big swings.
Yeah. You kind of touched on it, but like, I can relate where it's just like when there's so much going on, it just feels stressful. But if you're trying to, especially in like, you feel like you're getting pulled in a lot of different directions, but like if you were trying to go like a little bit deeper into specifically what's causing it, could you, is it something where you're having trouble figuring out the direction to go with features, or it's the features themselves are harder to build, or it's just like there's too much uncertainty? Like what are the areas that are that seem like they're causing the stress.
Oh, like in all fairness, I don't want to talk about all of it, I think, publicly. But I think like if I were to generalize, to be more specific, I think that like part of it is like pricing and packaging, because in a way we're kind of setting a precedence like for ourselves with this. We might get locked into some of those, you know, but we're having these conversations every week, certainly. And so like, I want to figure this out as we have more and more of these to where it's quote, right. The other is like, this aspect of our product is pretty new. And so as people are working with it and interacting with it in different ways, in a lot of ways that we didn't anticipate, kind of like, I hate to say, like some insecurity about, well, yeah, like technically it does that, but like that's not how we designed it. And so like, are they or are their customers and their listeners going to be happy with what they get? Because like for this podcast, we're using Castos exactly how we've been working on it for 3 years. But these people are using something that has never been used like this, you know, on our platform at least. And then I think, and I hate to turn this into a therapy session, but well, it'll be your turn next. I think the other thing is like, it could be a really substantial part of the business in the future. And the thought of, you know, I hate the term pivot, but the thought of like focusing a significant part of my mental space and our resources to this is, you know, it's a bet. And it's maybe a big bet, maybe it's a medium bet, I don't know. But like it could be a different way that we're going to focus on this more. And that's just scary because like what we've been doing work and is working, you know? And so like diverting some of our energy away from that is uncertain.
Do you have specific people on private podcasting, specific people on the WordPress integration, or is it kind of spread across the team?
Yeah, it's pretty spread across the team.
Okay. So in those cases, like it is much easier to say like, okay, you're really thinking about how to divvy up someone's time. Like how much time should they devote to this new project? How much time should they do to this versus like what other things could they be doing on the core business? There's a lot of like prioritization and balancing there, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even like we've talked about hiring and growth, like if this is going to become a part of the business or a bigger part of the business going forward, that needs to factor into like who we hire and what the kinds of things we hire. It's like a sales rep, you know, or more successy kind of people to focus on that. So I don't, yeah, those are just more questions. Yeah.
It's similar to what I felt like we were going through at the start of COVID, or probably like a month or two in, like I guess like April-ish, when that was when we started thinking more about partnerships and kind of the B2B play. So basically, we view ourselves as a software company in the daily fantasy sports space. We create content, but it's all geared around how to use our product. And it's like evergreen content. We're not trying to build a massive audience of content consumers. We're trying to create content that, sure, there will be some organic reach through it, but like it's primarily used to help people use our products better or see the value in our products. And then there are a handful of competitors that are more on the software side. A lot of them kind of straddle the line between software and media. We felt like we couldn't do that well. And then there's just a ton of kind of more media plays. And we realized, we kind of knew early on like that it wasn't super competitive between us and media companies because we were really going after different things. But we just didn't have the bandwidth to really pursue partnerships. And then when we brought on Brian, the senior front-end consultant, he was doing a lot of refactoring and he kind of got to a spot where it was like the code was in a pretty good space and he had a bit more bandwidth for other projects. And then that was like revenue was at zero at that point, but we had put aside cash to pay him for a few months more. And we had people reaching out about partnerships and always kind of just said, we're not considering that right now. But at that point, it was kind of thinking like, all right, like this is sort of a lifeline in a sense where we can structure these in a way to potentially get some guaranteed revenue to offset our risk because we reach a very specific part of the market. They're tapping audiences we don't have. And it seemed a lot more appealing at that point, especially when we were still able to move forward on the product and other things. And we had this person who could really just run with this and it wouldn't distract the rest of the team. And so we went for it, but it was just like, we just kind of had to figure it out as we went in terms of the negotiations, in terms of like the actual like pricing and the deal and all of that stuff. And so that had a ton of uncertainty. But then we kind of, once we get past that, it's like, all right, like we're building this out. And the way we have it set up is we truly just like embed our app in the partner's site so that when a user logs into their, basically just think of it as like a membership site, is who kind of a lot of our partners are. They'll subscribe to them for content, advice, podcasts, all this other premium content. And so when they log into our partner's membership portal, it automatically logs them into our app, which is embedded on their site. And so we're like, all right, like this is like straightforward-ish, but then it's like thinking about all the different use cases where they're all on different tech. So the integrations is not the same for any of them. Billing is different, but also they're like the way they're actually using it is different. And we have to think about that. And then we have to say like, okay, we've priced this in one way, but how much custom development goes into this? And like, how much time should we put into, and like, how do we handle all these things? And it's like, at the time we needed to diversify and this seemed like a good way to do that. But then as we get into it, as all the other sports start back up, then it's like, all right, I'm managing these partners full time. We've got our customers coming in. We still have our consumer product that we're building. Like there's just so many things. And yeah, I don't really have like a point to this, but it's just like it's very easy to get to go down these paths and you feel like you have a good idea of what's going to happen. And then the possibilities just explode and you're getting pulled in a bunch of different directions, especially when you're dealing with like multiple customers who are paying enough where like they do need kind of one-on-one support. And it's been a balancing act. And I think over time we've gotten, because I think the first partnership rolled out June-ish. And so that was like 4 months ago. We now have 4 partnerships and I've like actually said we're pausing them for now just to get a better handle on like how to do it again from here. But just over time, we've gotten one just more confident saying like, all right, like this is pretty much like it's feature complete. We can talk about improvements to it and other things to do down the road, but like we can't prioritize dev time on that. But pricing is still like up in the air on renewal, what we're going to do with that. And it's at least now there's still a ton of uncertainty, but it's kind of like equalized out. We're at like a decent like equilibrium spot. But how have you balanced all the kind of competing stakeholders? Because that's for me with enterprise stuff, this is like my first experience with it. And I can now see why like enterprise apps can get so bloated, because they just add like everything. And so how are you thinking about that, at least generally speaking, as you're navigating different stakeholders and different customers that will at some point probably be paying enough where like you can't really just always say no?
Yeah, yeah. I don't mean to be like someone from the presidential debate and not answer your question. I totally want to answer your question, but I want to ask you about like,
yeah,
especially like 4 months into some of these partnerships, are there things from a kind of diversification of resources perspective that you didn't anticipate? So like product support, even like server bills and stuff like that is stuff that you probably think about, but like, are there things that have come up now that you're like, oh, yep, should have thought of that, should have like baked that into the terms or the price or whatever?
So the support side has been fine. We basically leave it to our partners to handle like the first tier of support. And then they escalate to us if there's a more serious issue. But we're fortunate in the sense that the way we built this, it literally is a skin version of our app. So like and we have more customers than they do. So like our customers are going to run into issues before theirs do or more frequently than theirs do. So like we often will catch the issues before they do. But the difficulty has been how to actually troubleshoot some of these problems when like we're not communicating directly with the customer. And also the way it's set up is it's technically an iframe on their site, that like we have an API that their authentication system like sends a request to. We send it back a token and it passes that token into the iframe. But like we don't know that much, like just by the way it's technically set up, like we're kind of limited on what we can see. And so that makes troubleshooting a lot more difficult. And so we've wasted tons of time troubleshooting things that like if they were on our system just natively would have been very easy to figure out. And so there have been specific things, but like I just, on support and on customizations, I just dramatically underestimated the amount of effort that would go into that. Where on the customizations, it's like, this is where I get like annoyed with myself, with like customers as well, where it's just like, we're at a spot with our product where we're very happy with where it is. But there are still requests that come in where I was like, yeah, we really should do that. Like, it's like, yeah. This is a good, yeah, like, yeah, yeah, I completely understand why you want that. And so those are the things that are tough for me to just be like, nah, we'll do that later. Or maybe we'll do it later. So we spent a lot of time customizing the setup. And I think in purely monetary, in a monetary sense, with how things are right now in our market, it wasn't worth the investment. However, I wouldn't have changed my decision going on, because when I made that decision and the way we structure the contracts, like we needed that. It was beneficial for both parties. They didn't have to try to spend the resources to build this themselves. They were able to partner with a brand that could really focus on this. And we were able to diversify our revenue streams. And so it made sense for everybody. But as things rebounded, there are definitely times where I wish we could just focus on our own thing. But at the same time now, the partner product is at a spot where it would be much easier to roll that out to other partners. And there are fewer customizations that I could even think of. And like the ones that would come up, I'd be more comfortable saying, yeah, we're probably not going to do that. And could probably bring those up even in the negotiations, just to like be very clear about everything. It's like all the different packaging and pricing and all the different things that people have talked about. I feel like we've gone through enough of it where like the next time around, we would definitely learn what questions people have, where they get caught up and that kind of thing. So I think we could just set expectations better, but also just be at a more mature spot too.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
I'm not going to let you get out of the question entirely though. So like, how are you in the early stages of product development thinking about the balancing act of all the requests that are coming in, that some of them might be one-off requests, some of them might not? Because I guess from our standpoint, it was easy to think about, okay, this is something that any partner we have would want versus, this is important to you, but I think this is a one-off thing. It's like those ones I feel like are easier to navigate, but sometimes things fall in the middle. So how are you kind of navigating the prioritization of requests that come in from these enterprise customers or potential customers?
Yeah. So fortunately, they've all been consistent. The things that people are looking for, fortunately, are all like, we would like to have this, but it's not a deal breaker. Like SSO, right, is a perfect example. Like all companies want SSO. All kind of high volume, membership sites or coaches or whatever don't need it. But there's a handful of things like that that would really, really, really make this slick and make the sales process a lot easier. And so all of those are getting prioritized for like this side of the product. And I think that we're, with several developers, our third developer started Monday of this week. And so now we can't split time evenly, I guess. But like, I think maybe we're spending like a third of our time on this stuff, because it's all, everything is like nice to have stuff at this point. Like we don't need any of these things. But yeah, maybe like a third of our time is spent on these private podcast enterprise kind of features. The other two thirds are like the core of the app and like just UI, UX onboarding improvements and integrations with things kind of for like general podcasters. If it's the first time I've heard a kind of concern or request, I like take a pause and say, wow, like, I think it's a fair thing to say like on the call, like, why is that important to you? To really understand what they're trying to get out of something. And like, it's super obvious, like SSO, then like they want that so they can control who has access to the thing. But so I try to do a fair bit of really understanding the need, because sometimes it really is not what they say. It's something else. And so try to do that. And then like once I hear something more than a couple of times, we have this rule of three in like both development and support. Like if you hear something three times in some kind of finite timeline, then it's probably a bug, you know, or it's probably a valid, you know, feature request. And so, and we just throw all this shit in a Notion board that we keep. And every once in a while, I just go through and say like, okay, we need to prioritize this. And typically that happens around these like 6 week cycles that we do. But yeah, I mean, we've been fortunate that like the things that people are looking for all have been there, or there's like a valid reason they're not there yet, or we're working on it. And none of them have been showstoppers so far. And yeah, I mean, the people that we're talking to are moving forward, you know, with kind of onboarding. And so that's cool. And I think the question I would love to ask you is like, you're at this point where you had interest from partners, you did these deals, it went well. How do you think about like, how much of this should we do? And like, how much of our business, you know, and that's revenue and people and focus and whatever, should this be if it's like a real opportunity versus the kind of the core of what you do?
Yeah, it's a tough question. And it's one that I rely on my gut a good amount for. And I mean, again, like this does go back to like my gambling background, where I've kind of refined my gut instincts on these things to kind of do like a quick cost benefit analysis, but it's not like a super precise thing. And I mean, the way we looked at it with the partnerships is, okay, we know what we need to do on the product. We have a couple people working on this full time. They can keep moving that forward. There are other things we could do by getting this third person on that, but they don't seem super high priority compared to someone coming in and being willing to guarantee a certain amount of revenue or whatever the terms may have been on a deal. And so that was kind of how it kicked things off. We're like, all right, revenue, we're not sure what the future is going to look like. This is a relatively sure thing. Let's at least explore this. As we went along, it was kind of the similar process you talked about, where it was just navigating what are the features that this, they obviously need this. Like, yes, this makes sense. We can add this. Everyone, like, this is something that's not one off, or even if it is one off, it's like kind of a deal breaker. But now with where we're at, where it's more stable, and it gets into the kind of bigger question of, that you're getting out of, like, do we double down on partnerships? Do we let these just kind of coast? What do we do? And I don't really have an answer for what we're actually going to do. But right now, I don't think it's the, this is where, yeah, it gets tough, because the resources at this point, I think on development, it's not crazy. There's a few other updates that are like the nice to haves that would make other conversations much easier, and would just kind of make the whole thing more seamless. But it wouldn't be like a huge burden on the development side, but it would come down to the sales side. And like, I don't have the bandwidth to be prospecting and networking and talking to potential partners and negotiating these deals. And then like the onboarding part, there's a ton of effort around just like getting up to speed and all of that. And then there's also the part to me of like, to really make these succeed, I think we need to be more hands-on about co-promotion, or at least helping them promote us, where we can do live streams for their audience and that sort of thing. And like, what I feel like we need to really take this to the next level, we don't have.
From a people perspective though, right? Like, it's correct. All just like, you need a sales guy, right? Or correct. Salesperson.
And yeah, and like, that's just so far out of my wheelhouse for hiring for. Where like, I don't even consider myself a salesperson. I've read enough about it. I've like, understand the process enough. But at the end of the day, like, my sales process isn't like super refined, but like I can communicate and I know the points to negotiate on and stuff like that. I can get it done. But finding someone to do that, getting up to speed, having them work with partners, like, it's just so, there's so much uncertainty around that, that even if I thought that could have huge potential, I don't think there's enough certainty for me to feel comfortable really pursuing that with where we are now, when there's like more certain things for me to deal with or for me to spend my time on. And so I'm at the spot honestly right now where the stress, like literally before this call, it was like, all right, like we're going to hire a couple more people to help with data collection. We're going to really look into paid ads and just all these other things. And like before this, I've reached out to we have one good developer that we brought on recently to help with data collection. He kind of has like a mini agency. And so we were talking to him about bringing more developers on to help with that and working under him. But it's just like, we don't have the bandwidth. Like we just, it's not the budget. It's just, we're already falling behind on creating enough spec for him to do in reviewing the code. We don't have time to create more spec for people for him to manage. I don't have time to like stay on top of all these other things and really give ads the amount of effort that they need. And it was kind of just like the breaking point for me, where it's just like everything was breaking. There were other issues coming on support where it was like, when you hear something three times that you got to act on it, we had like the same email seven times this morning. and I'm just like, all right, and this is literally within a couple hours. And I was like, all right, like this is fucking enough. Like we're getting pulled in too many directions. These core things we got to fix, and just kind of pump the brakes a little bit. And that's where stress can be helpful for me, where like it can, when it pushes me far, when it's just like a constant, it's like, there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of balls in the air, like whatever. I feel like I don't get a ton done during the day, but I can manage it. But it's like, when this is just like the breaking point, then it can make me step back and just like, we're being pulled in too many different directions. And so the long-winded answer is just like, I don't have one. It's just kind of figuring out, okay, what are the resources we have available now? What are they working on now? And then do we have money to bring in more resources? But for us right now, more importantly, it's like, if we bring in those other resources, like no one works just like purely independently. Like there's management that's needed to keep everyone track. And like, does that take us away from the other things? And it just, going back to my gut, it was just very clear to me this morning that like, no, we can't do all these things, and just kind of hit reset on a few different projects just so we could focus on the core things that matter.
It's funny, like hearing someone else's problems, the answer is always so clear. And so like, I'm sitting over here saying like, Andy, you need to just hire a salesperson and you need to take yourself out of some of the stuff you're doing so you can help them be successful. And like, that's easy for me to say. And we're certainly not doing that. Like we certainly haven't done it. Like we're considering it, but I have a lot of the same personal bandwidth stress of like, we already are seven people. I don't want to go hire two more people, but I think we need to hire two more people. And like the thing I think about, like for you, and I should be thinking about it for me too, is like, if in a year, if you did this, do you think you'd be better off? You know, and like, would it work? And would you not go bankrupt? And like, would you be better off? Like, would the company be more successful and profitable and like, whatever, be in a better place? Because I think like that year timeline for me, and maybe like working in Tiny Seed put that like time frame, and like we went through that and saw that like we burned money and it all turned out okay. And like, we're back at the point now where like, I wonder, like, if we have this opportunity and you have this opportunity, if you can say like, okay, if I took like a year's worth of a bet, like, could it turn out like I want it to? And could that be like a really good thing? I don't know. That's kind of the question I'm asking myself with these things, like just kind of enterprise in general and the team and the resources that go into it, is like talking about peeling a part of our focus off, is like trying to box that somehow to say like, I'm only going to do this many hours, or we're only going to allocate this much development time to it, or we're going to maybe hire a salesperson, but you know, I can only pay them, you know, 50 grand a year plus commission. And so like that risk is like kind of understood, putting it in those terms. I don't know. I feel like I just said a lot and none of it made sense.
No. I get what you're saying. It's like where my thinking is at is, so on one part of the equation, when you think of the people you need, that makes it easy, especially, and if you like time box the investment, it's like a year, 6 months, whatever, it brings more certainty to that side of the equation. Where I'm struggling on this is that I think the payoff equation, the payoff side of the equation is still very uncertain. And even figuring out like how many people it would take and what it would take, I'm just at a spot where it's like, One, I have no idea how to hire a salesperson. So like that's going to take me a ton of time. I'm probably going to mess it up. And even if like regardless, I'm going to have to onboard them and all this other stuff. I'm like, I don't want to spend that time. But that's like just me kind of like bitching about it, not saying like that's like a great decision on its own. But then going beyond that, it's okay. If we land more of these, what does the management process look like? How do we actually make sure that our partners are successful? Do we need, is a salesperson also an affiliate manager? Do we have someone separate to that? Who is going to help them like create content that they can push to their customers, help sell this more? And maybe it's all one person. Maybe we can find this kind of unicorn to do that. But even if we find that one person, how much am I going to have to hold their hand along the way? And then what will the payoff be if all of those things before it work? And for me, it's gotten to the point where there's enough, there's so much uncertainty there where it's much easier for me to say, like, all right now there is a growing backlog of marketing things that if I do these will make a very noticeable impact on the business. Let me knock these out for the rest of the calendar year, maybe. And then we'll have MBA starting up sometime in January. And I can start thinking about, all right, what experiments can I do with our current partners to see if these things help move the needle? And if they do, and then that makes me more confident that we can like, that this is worth the effort, then it's like figure out what we can roll into it to really double down there. But it's just like, there's so much uncertainty on that part of the equation for me now. In my backlog of like personal projects, there's much less uncertainty. So it's like, no, like I just got to knock these things out. But that's where I can definitely like go back and forth sometimes too quickly on things and like write things off too quickly or double down on them too quickly. But yeah, that's kind of where I've found myself at right now, is just in that spot where, again, like it was kind of the tipping point earlier of just being like, this is too many things going on, and bringing more people in could theoretically help down the road. But like, if I'm already feeling like I'm being pulled in too many directions, that's not going to help. In a way, it is a cop-out of just saying like, I need to reset so that I can kind of get more bandwidth to say, all right, is this something to double down on? Should we hire here? Should we hire there? Like what should the priorities be? But until like I can get all those things off my plate, I'm not able to. I don't have like the luxury of being able to kind of think about all those things as much. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, for sure. No, I totally have this week. It's only Wednesday. This week, I've totally been there. Just like, I don't care if these go through because this is just such a thing that like, it's so stressful. At the same time, it's meaningful revenue and opportunity. And I can't be chicken shit about it. Sorry. Not that you're being chicken shit, but that like I'm telling myself like it's worth, you know, kind of pushing through at this phase.
The problem though, I just feel like, is that sometimes you can push through and then a month or a quarter from now, it's crazier and you're not even sure if it's bet, like if like the payoff is there. Like, and that's kind of where I've found right now with the partnership, things are pretty good. If you were to ask me like a month, maybe 2 months ago, I would have been in that crazy spot where it's just like, just cut this out. Like, let's just move on. And no, it's like, I'm happy where it's at now, but it's just very easy for me to see how you can just go down this path. And once you started on it, you make some progress. And then it takes a while for you to take a step back and question like, was this what I actually wanted? Are we better off here? That was kind of today. Yeah. It was just the reset button of just like, yeah, this isn't where we want it.
Again, like it's too much.
It's too much. And hopefully now I'll have some more clarity on those things. But yeah, I really just think that for these next couple months, we have a very clear growth roadmap that I right now need to execute on. And I think to go after the partners more, it would be rather than hiring a salesperson, it'd be hiring a marketer who could help take off some of these things from my plate. That's an area where I think it'd be hard for me to hire for, because I'm going to be like very particular, but I know it very well. So it's much easier for me to coach someone on. I know exactly like what I'm trying to get out of it. So it's easier for me to give guidance and all of that. Whereas wherever I've seen with founders, with companies I've worked with people I've talked to, wherever, it's like the hires that almost never seem to work are the ones where you're hiring for like something you don't really know how to do. You really want someone to come in and figure it out. And sometimes they do, but oftentimes they don't. And I would say it'd be bring someone in on marketing so that I'm still driving the show, but they can really be in there day to day. And this lets me kind of build out that playbook for partnerships or whatever it may be, whatever that next thing is. But yeah, I just think that could be the next step, but it won't be this year. I've accepted that, where it's just like, let me knock out these things. Let's get things to a saner spot. And then near the end of the year, we'll start kind of taking stock of where it's at and go from there.
You're a very smart guy in this respect, for sure, because I think that like we, in some way, we are seeing like the other side of the potential that you saw like today, is saying like, if we do this, it's going to be way too much. And that I feel some of my stress is around team and my time with the team. And that like, we did a webinar yesterday, like a paid webinar, like we paid to be in front of this person's audience, did the webinar, negotiated the contract, all this kind of stuff. I never talked to the people. I didn't do the webinar. I didn't put the material together, all this kind of stuff. And like, part of it was just like, logistically, it was like 5 o'clock or something on the East Coast. And so it's like 11 o'clock here. And yeah. I'm not, you know, I'm too old for that. In a way, I'm super proud that like Matt and Denise did that. And that's like, in a way, I felt like, okay, we made it. Like they just are running that part of things. In another way, I'm like, you know, the micromanager in me says like, did that go as good as possible? And like, if I was involved, what would have been different? And of course that's terrible, but that's the reality. And like our new developer, Alec, started on Monday. And I know that like he is talking to Jonathan, our lead developer, more than he's talking to me. And that's how it should be. You know, Jonathan is the lead developer and he is compensated for that. And it's been very clear from him and I talking that that is his role. Like his role is not just doing code. It's kind of like my and your role is like enabling and opening everyone else up to do their best job. He takes a part of that. And so like, I had to have a conversation with Jonathan today about like, hey, you and I need to get on in more close contact about like how Alec is being onboarded, because there are things going on that I don't know. And that scares me. And that is definitely part of my stress. It's like, yeah, this enterprise stuff and all this kind of, but like the team growing, and like, it's not out of control. Like we're only 8 people, whatever, but it's definitely, there are things happening that I don't know about, and that's happening more and more all the time. And so like, I think this is where the team and how the team works and the information I get needs to be different. So I think that you are very smart to like stop that before you're ready for it. Because like I am not that smart. And like, we were not ready for that, and to some degree, you know, like I am not ready for this to be happening mentally, maybe, you know, because it's happening and I have some stress about it.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's me being smart or just learning from mistakes or what it is, but I'll take the compliment. But it's like, I've just been aware enough of where stress for me comes from, where it is similar to what you're saying, when there are things going on that I'm not aware of, and combined with the fact that like things aren't always going well. It's like, it's one thing if this is why we've worked with Brian for so long, is that it's definitely stretched the budget to work with him, but it's been worth it because we're able to give him specs that might not be like completely formed out, but he understands the code, understands the product enough where he can really run with it, make executive decisions on his own. And he doesn't need to be checked up on, and we see progress regularly. It's been working with, in other cases where you don't get as much communication up front, you're not even sure what's happening, you're not seeing progress, and like it's just hard to know what's going on. It's just kind of all behind a screen. That's where it's like been a lot for me, and that's where I have to strike the balance of not micromanaging, but I still need to know what's going on to make sure we're all moving in the same direction. And it's just doing that, I've just been aware of how much extra time it just places on me, where it's the more partners we have, the more I have to kind of manage each of them. And then the more things I'm bringing to our team and prioritizing is everything else we're doing. And when the payoff is unclear, especially on expanding it, that's where it's just like, yeah, like I'm not ready to, we don't have the structure in place to have kind of this many cooks in the kitchen. And yeah, I don't know when we'll get there, but it definitely will be the next step. But it's just, yeah, there's so many kind of core things we just really need to clean up and get done that Matt, who's the founder, he doesn't have the bandwidth to manage all these other things too. So it's just kind of hitting pause and just saying, all right, let's focus on
being really strategic about that next step, right? I mean, that's really smart.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. It's never fun. Like that's what sucks, is that there's so much that I want to get done, that I've wanted to get done, that's been on this list for over a year, all these things. And we've really just had to put a lot of those on the back burner while we kind of address those underlying things. Or okay, what are the bugs that are causing all these problems that cause our developers to get pulled off of what they're trying to work on to fix this? And then really just has everyone spinning their wheels. And it's just trying to figure out what those bottlenecks are so we can remove them or minimize them. And it's like the moving slow to eventually move fast. And I just hope we get to that eventually spot where we actually do move faster. Cause sometimes when you're in it, it feels like you're not going to get there.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like you're in the right spot though, I think. Yeah. And it's cool. I mean, I think this is exactly the kind of stuff we wanted to do the podcast about, right? Is like, I think we're at this place where we're figuring out these things that are past, like, how do we get our first 10 customers? But like, how do you set the company up to where doing these things is not such a huge ordeal, right? And like, I think if you can figure that out, that makes this growth easier. I certainly don't know, but I think that's the stuff we're trying to work through. Yeah.
The last thing is I want to just ask is, going on like the practical level of we've each had some venting, some ranting, but when you do feel overwhelmed like this, are there things you do just to get away from the computer to try to balance it out, or like how do you literally cope with this? Like what are the things you've found help or if anything?
I definitely know I should take care of myself and like my body and my mental sanity and stuff like that. I don't meditate. I don't journal. I don't do a lot of those things that I should do. I exercise a couple of times a week, not as much as I should, but I do a very poor job of this. My wife cares for me very much and says I need to do a better job, and I know I need to. And honestly, like, not to make this too long of an answer, a big reason I know I need to is so that I can keep doing this for a long time.
Right, because it's not going to go, like, these are the problems we're dealing with now, but they're... if we keep growing, there's always going to be problems.
Yeah. And I love doing this, right? And so like burning out would be terrible because I would be so sad that I couldn't keep doing this. So that's the biggest reason I try to take care of myself, is so I can keep doing this. I don't know. How about you? What do you like practically? What do you do?
I'm honestly similar to you, where I'm not someone that is going to, if it's just been like a super rough day, like I'm going to go to the gym right then and work out and it'll make me feel better. Because for me, if I don't have like a scheduled time of this is when I go to the gym, I'm not going to do it. So, and I don't like messing with that. So it's like, to keep my gym habit going, I'm not going to use that as like the release from stress. And I don't have much. It used to be, I would have enough kind of trips planned throughout the year where day to day, I just kind of deal with it. At the end of the day, I'll always try to get off the computer, not watch, like not be on my phone, not watching TV, just reading or whatever to kind of decompress. And that helps at least reset me before going to bed. And that's really about it. But usually it would be just deal with it until I have a trip coming up where I can just disconnect for a few days and kind of reset. But yeah, it's been tough with that in the meantime. But at least we have more friends and family around, so we're able to see people. And it's just, yeah, I just try to take it day by day. At the end of the day, just do something so I don't, if I am working late and don't have anything between like getting off the computer and going to sleep, I will just have horrible sleep. And so really for me, it's just having that hour in between the two things at least to just reset my brain. And then just trying to go into the next day with a clean slate is what I've done. And it helps. But at the end of the day, like you're saying, it's trying to find those ways to just that are sustainable, because this is what running a business is about, really. It's always solving whatever problems come up, and there always will be problems. And especially, I think, for you and I, where I don't think there's like infinite growth in our businesses, but like we're not trying to build like a set it and forget it business, but or necessarily. And even if we do want to eventually hire someone to replace ourselves, like that's a whole new set of things that we have to figure out and all of that. So I think there's a long road ahead of us of things we're going to have to solve. So it's making sure that we can navigate that road without going nuts along the way.
Yep. Absolutely. Cool, man. This is a fun conversation. I'd love to hear how other folks, you know, one, I think we talked about two things really. One, kind of negotiating or navigating enterprise and larger customers wanting to do things different with your app, you know, from a tech and people and resource perspective. And I think the other is, you know, the stress that and this kind of part of the journey that I think we're both on, like how you've managed it and dealt with it and kind of optimized getting through it. You know, shoot us a message, seekingscale.com. Love to hear from you.
If there's anything else you want us to dig into or questions you have, definitely just let us know. But this was fun, Craig. I'll talk to you next week. See ya.